Safe as Houses by Michael Litsky. Today is podcast number 19. Sally Yan lost her beloved Lavinia. She was bitten by vampires, and she died in Sally's arms. And as she died, she reached for her breast, and pressing her hand against her chest, muttered words which Sally assumed were nonsense. Fly time, her robin. And then she awoke as a vampire, and was hurled out of the plaza which had been declared a home, and was lost to Sally. But Sally has found her again, in the rolling camper home which they had shared together for many months. Lavinia is weak as a kitten, paralyzed by the sunlight, but still herself. As they're talking, a beam of sunlight suddenly falls on Lavinia's form, and she screams, but the screams are not those of agony, they're those of orgasm. Sally turns and looks at her, stunned. Safe as Houses, Volume 2, Outside, Part 6, Sunlight. Lavinia's screams were quiet, intense, and climbing in pitch. The sun was full on her face, and her blazing eyes were wide open. She wasn't burning. She wasn't turning into ash, or whatever was supposed to happen to vampires in the sun. It sure sounded like she was coming. Sally, still kneeling beside her, saw that her face was ecstatic. Color seemed to come back into her cheeks. As much as she could with her nearly paralyzed body, she undulated, making almost imperceptible thrusts with her hips. Through her confusion, Sally was getting aroused. Lavinia had always come with her eyes open. It was one of the many ways they were alike, in spite of the age difference. Sally had longed all her adult life for a lover who would look into her eyes during orgasm. Graphic, intense images came blasting back, Lavinia looming over her, cunt pressed, wet and musky, rich against her mouth and nose and cheeks, pubic bone rocking against the bridge of her nose so that even her eyelids were wet and dripping, grabbing Sally's hair, tilted her head so that their eyes met, and roared in a mighty voice, "Yours, baby!" and came hard against her, eyes pulling Sally along so that Sally more than once saw a universe of stars streaking around them as she followed Lavinia to some secret place. She couldn't bear it. She shoved her body into the path of the sun. Lavinia quickly stopped screaming, but her breathing continued deep and panting. Shaking, Sally could feel her nipples still crinkling against her shirt, her vagina throbbing wet against her panties, and that secret thrill shining in her belly and in her thighs. "What the hell was that?" she yelled, just as Lavinia mumbled, "Holy shit." Then they were both silent. The sound of morning traffic on a nearby street reminded Sally that she was parked in an alley with a vampire and that it might be a good idea not to attract attention. Lavinia's breathing gradually slowed. The color in her cheeks must have been an illusion. She was as pallid as before. The camper was filled with the heady smell of sex and unwashed bodies. They hadn't had a chance to shower for 2 days before coming to the rally. Whatever had just happened, it changed a lot of assumptions. Sally was now ready to take a certain risk. Using a moment when the sun went behind the clouds again, she turned and fixed the broken curtain. She got the round knob back into its plastic holder. The metal rod itself was bent. She straightened it as best she could without snapping it in two and got the sagging thing just back into place. And then, heart beating harder, she turned back and, before she could argue herself out of it, stretched out beside Lavinia and wrapped her arms and legs around her, pulling the limp, heavy body around so that they were face to face. She nudged a pillow under the hanging head. Those still marvelous eyes met hers with a kind of wonder. Sally had never read any of the vampire literature which had been popular before vampires became a plague. She had never had the slightest romantic or erotic fantasy about a vampire lover. The love and arousal she felt now was completely and solely because Lavinia was still Lavinia. She actually didn't like the faint and mildly pleasant odor of otherworldliness about Lavinia now. Elsewhere in the city, Charity Clare cradled a mug of coffee in a small cafe, exhausted, knowing she should go home and sleep. There were no more dinner restaurants or ice cream parlors or takeout pizza joints in this world, but there had been a worldwide explosion of brunch and lunch places and coffee houses. And Malcolm Donald grabbed a quick nap at the plaza while his assistants hurriedly bought the biggest, solidest tent they could find, and other assistants argued with the police, who wanted him to leave the plaza. Jesse and Walter shared brunch. Jesse wished he could comfort the exhausted-looking girl with the mousy good looks at the table near the wall, and Walter rolled his eyes in exasperated affection. And Sally held her dead lover in her arms and talked with her. Lavinia quickly confirmed that she had been in ecstasy. "I've never felt anything like it. Well, no, I felt something like it." She smiled weakly at Sally at the words, "I felt something like it," and Sally knew what she meant and wanted to kiss her again, but didn't, still halfway between excited and nauseated. "Don't make no sense," Lavinia went on. "Everybody knows sunlight destroys vampires, don't they? But hell, did we ever actually see a video or read an eyewitness actually saw it? I fucking don't know. I thought I knew. Maybe I just assumed, like everyone. But fucking Christ, you'd think the vamps would know." Her voice was a little stronger, more like her old emphatic self. "I mean, fuck, they dive for the sewers and the basement as soon as the sun comes up. I almost did that too." Sally was suddenly curious. "How did you wind up in here?" Lavinia's face suddenly became almost shy. "Don't laugh. It may have been some kind of, I don't know, magic? Probably not." "Magic," Sally kept her voice neutral. "But in a vampire-infested world, what was so impossible about magic?" "When I was in Germany back in 75, I bought this leather jacket from an old Ledermacher. Oh yeah, I told you about him. Old German hippie, long gray hair, patch on one eye. Anyways, I fell in love with this one and paid, well, what was a lot of money then for it, because of the raven emblem." Sally pulled back to look once more at the emblem on Lavinia's jacket. She had admired it before, though she'd thought it was a crow. A raven, perched on a shoulder, whispering into an ear, flames in the background, and tiny letters that spelled out German words, Fleitheim ihr Raben. Suddenly, several pieces fell into place. Fleitheim her Raben? Lavinia had been quoting the words on her jacket as she reached for the emblem with her hand, and the words were familiar because they were from the Wagner opera Götterdämmerung, the opening of Brunhilde's last aria before she throws herself into the fire to burn with her beloved. Fly home, thou ravens, fly home. And the god to whom the ravens were to fly home was Wotan, Odin, the Norse god who gave up one of his eyes to win his wife. Sally looked back up at Lavinia's watchful face. "You're not trying to tell me that old guy was..." She couldn't even say it.
"Well, you can't blame me for thinking it once or twice. Probably just a stoned-out hippie with one eye and an amazing talent."
Lavinia looked quite embarrassed.
"But I always kind of told myself there was a little something in this jacket more than just good leather work."
This, then, was the source of her embarrassment, when Sally had asked her about the jacket several months ago. Lavinia closed her eyes, and with pain spreading over her face again, told Sally about her descent into hell. This podcast is copyright 2014 by me, Michael Litsky. For a print version of this story and information about the music you hear, and much more, please visit my website, which is www.fictionandmore.com. Next week will be Outside Part 7, which is entitled Hell. I'll see you then. Be good.